I want to explain what I am doing. And I need to explain this because it's very, very important that you understand. I am going through the book of Exodus, and Exodus only. Yes, there are different, quote, encampments in the book of Numbers. When we reach the book of Numbers, I will then show forth and bring the best that I can, and may ask God to help me on this one, to bring forth a calendar of events that may be able to reach up to a certain designated point of this particular event after we reach Mount Sinai. Now, you don't have to, quote, accept this outline. Okay, this is how I researched and looked at it. I had to have an answer. It had been troubling me for many, many years. And as the many years go by, I find more and more positive things within the written Word of God. But I want to tell you one thing, try to explain to you one thing. Remember Daniel went through the book of Judges. Okay, and you know that the book of Judges is not in chronological order. The last two judges really should be in the very first part of the book of Judges, right after Joshua. It's very, very self-evident of how and what it is. And God doesn't organize His Word by His chronological order. He organizes it by what? By events. This event, and this event, and this event. He's telling us three stories or four stories. Do you see the problem here? One, two, three, four. He wants us to see the story of what is there, not necessarily an historical event. When we get into the book of Numbers, much later in the book of Numbers, you'll find stories in there that has nothing to do with Moses. He wasn't even alive. He was dead and buried. And here was way past time of Joshua, and I think even before Samson, where an incident came up. And lo and behold, it's written in the book of Numbers, and it's word by word by word written also in the book of Judges. And it can only happen in the book of Judges. So God is not looking at chronological orders. He's telling you, I'm telling you, do you see this picture? Do you see this picture? Show and tell, show and tell, show and tell. That's how God works. And every scholar knows that. I mean, it's really not hard to figure that one out. He's not a chronological order person. Now, when he wants to be chronological order, it's very clear. Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, and day six. And then seven. After that, chronological order is gone. Now it's event, 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 event. He names certain times, a sequence, which we will not go into today, about Noah and a certain date that he stepped out upon dry ground. We're not there yet. I mean, we have been there. But the specific date, very specific to God, has a date that he wants us to remember. And then we go from there all the way up. We don't have a date until approximately the time of Moses. All right. Now, so what I'm presenting to you is, I'll clarify one more thing. I'm not out here for you to debate with me. All right. You can believe what you believe. You can see what you receive, and you live what you live. Okay. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to present to you in the book of Exodus, that we may be able to see the events. Why God wrote these events in the book of Exodus in a specific location, and we have a time that's listed here, and this particular time is in the second month. And from that beginning point, you can count backwards and you count forward. But these two particular dates, especially the one that's been named, tells you a mark that he has placed there for us to understand something of what he, not what people do, but what he does. All right, with that being said, I want to say one more thing. We are coming, my personal plan, belief, okay? We're coming toward a very serious crisis in the world, in our country, and in our state, and our city. Coming very, very serious crisis. And there's a very important message. And it says there, remember my law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all of Israel, and the statutes of judgment. Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahuwah. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Then God said he's going to come, and he's going to come with some really bad news. And sometimes we would like to picture God as being bad news guy. But he's going to bring some bad news. And so as we reach our end and reach toward what I feel is coming toward, I don't say it's next year, 2 years, 3 years, make a difference what I'm saying. I'm saying it could be 10 years, 20 years, 30, I don't care. What I'm saying is that the commandment is this. Fathers, you act first. It is your job first. Then it's the children, not the other way around. Okay? That's my statement I wanted to make today. Because I think sometimes we as human beings, we get irritated with our kids, especially when they become teenagers. And that's basically where Scripture's aiming at. Don't destroy the young. Apostle Paul warned the fathers, don't cause your children to wrath, or don't go and put them into a state of depression and giving up and being depressed. As we are have now in our society today. It's incredible how strong that is. Okay, that being said, as you can tell here, you got your calendar, you got your first month, second month, and third month. This is for you. You will have, by the time this whole thing is finished, I will hand out the entire outline that I have. Now, once again, these are just notes and an outline. And I hope that more that we can do anything else that we may be able to understand. When I go through the sequence of events, when I went through the Lamb, the 10th day and the 7th day, the 24th day, there is an event that took place that tells us what God wants us to see and understand in our lives. It's not just a day. It's an important thing that occurred and it affects our lives. Okay? So before I go any farther, let's have a reader. And we are in the book of Shemot. All right. And we are in chapter 16th chapter. Okay, and I want to start in verse 1, and I do not want the whole chapter read. I want it to end in to the 19th verse. So Exodus chapter 16, verse 1 to 19.
And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, "At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us?" Also Moses said, This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full, for the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses spoke to Aaron, "Say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints." Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance, as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, What is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need, one omer for each person, according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered, some more, some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, Let no one leave any of it till morning.
Any comments? Thoughts? Opinions?
I have a note in my Bible. Somebody with too much time on their hands figured out this is about 300 box cars a day to deliver this much manna to this village.
An inspired margin, of course. We used to joke about that. You know, you put your notes inside your margin. You know, those are called inspired notes. Not necessarily from God, but at least inspired notes from somebody. Any other comments?
Well, they pulled up stakes on the Shabbat, so I guess what I'm wondering, so they had to do a lot of work on the Shabbat
when they pulled up stakes. No, they didn't pull up stakes. We'll get there. We'll find out.
On the 15th, they pulled up stakes.
No. The 15th.
That's what mine said.
We'll get there. What's mine? They didn't pull up stakes on the 15th. The manna came on the 16th. At evening on the 15th, he said, I will then therefore give you manna and the quail at the Erev Shabbat, at the evening, rather, of that day. So they stopped on the 15th. Okay. I grant you, the way it's worded is confusing. And I'll be honest with you this morning. You know, I've studied this thing over and over and over again. I said, oh, I got that wrong. Everything I've said is a lie. Oh, my. And I was so devastated. So, you know, I got to tell everybody I don't know the slightest thing what I'm talking about. And I had to reread it. I read it in Hebrew. I said, wait a minute. Oh, wrong statement. See, I grant you, it looks that way, doesn't it? Yeah. I had to rethink twice on that one. And I was devastated this morning. What? So, no, it's not you, just admit it. It just looks like it's that way. It threw me off a curve, too. You know, English is not necessarily the best, but does have its clarification. We've got to pay attention to what it's saying. We got it. But it's kind of funny, nonetheless. Okay, so we have an idea. They stopped the 15th. We'll get more in detail of that later. And, of course, it's the fifth stopping point. All right? From what point? From when? From Sukkot, right. Count from Sukkot going on three. We have a total of 10 stops, by the way, when you go there. But you'll see another number as we keep going. Because your outline here not going to be completed because I don't want necessarily go there yet. I just want to present this information that I have studied so long and so hard for. Can anybody tell me, let's put it this way. I'm going to backtrack just a little bit in Exodus 15, chapter, verse 26. And I said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Yahweh, our Elohim, Elohim, your Elohim, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you that I brought upon the Egyptians, for I came to heal you. Remember that? That was the first time they murmured. You remember? That was number one. This is number two. They murmured 10 times. So this is number one. This is number two there. So kind of keep track of what's going on. Okay. What did we learn, or did I present to you, put it this way, learn about the... I have to go back one, don't I? No. Mara. That's the 12 wells. Which one was that on? Go back a calendar. Oh, yeah. What did we learn about that word? Okay. They were complaining, right? And of the water. And what did God do? How? Threw something into the water, right? And it did something to the water, right? Okay? So we learned that he said, I am there to test you out. What was he testing them out for? Yeah, simple. So what we're seeing is that God brought these people on this journey, and we have to pay attention more to what God is doing and saying than what the people are doing and saying. They're there for us to understand. Because, see, sometimes they may have said words. You may not have said the same thing, but you might have said something that would make God says, you know, I did this deliberately. I am the bad guy here. I'm the one that put this upon you, brought you to this point in your life to find out whether or not you will hear my commands. Now, they didn't. But what did he do? He healed them anyway. Right? Brought forth healing to them. And what did we learn about the 12 wells? Maybe not what I tried to explain. Okay. The 12 of them, meaning what? The 12 tribes. The 12 tribes are supposed to be living waters. It's a symbolism of... Those wells still exist today, by the way, you know, in Saudi Arabia. They're still there. And the palm tree is still there, a whole lot more than 70, of course, but they're still there, too. They're still there to this day. And so it's kind of fascinating to know that that's exactly where we're looking. It's exactly 12 wells. It's amazing how that, and all of them got water coming up out of it, you know. So we know that they were actually there in an area called Saudi Arabia, not in the Sinai Peninsula. All right? You can't get away from that obvious point of view. There's more facts that will come out later. So now, they said something here, though, in verse 1 of your Exodus 16th chapter, verse 1. And the Israelites came to the wilderness of Sin. What is the wilderness of Sin? She's typing real quick here on her computer. What is it that you, to be honest with yourself, not to make you look like an idiot, because really it's something I want to learn, and you have learned, what is the wilderness of Sin about? What have you been taught? What have you been thought it was? No comment. I mean, are you people afraid of, I may embarrass you? I hope not. What? All right. All right. There we go. Where's the... I hope I do good on this one, okay? I'm writing in Hebrew, best I can. Yeah, he's smirk on his face. He said, Shamus, a yod, and a nun. The Shamus in Hebrew, what does the Shamus represent? You forgot. Thorns. All right. This is Hebrew word for thorns. So it's a wilderness of thorn. Oh, that's fascinating, isn't it? Now, there's another meaning for the word. Actually, it's pronounced as seen in Hebrew. Their Aramaic word has the same pronunciation. However, just for your information, I think it's very fascinating, that there was in the wilderness of Sin, in which there was a worship of a certain Semitic god named Sin. And that Semitic god was the moon god. Now, I'm not saying they did that. Look at it, this thing. If we look at the Hebrew, the thorns is one thing. And then there's this moon god is another thing. Don't mix them. Just telling you, that's what it means in Semitic language of a different origin. All right? Just an off-the-cuff comment about that, but just understand that when we think about this, we have to ask ourselves some question. And it was very heavily worshipped around that area where we would have what we call Saudi Arabia today, and Jordan, and farther east, all in the Mesopotamia area, or far as you have, of almost to Persia. Okay, just an interesting thought. But now, let me ask you another question. What does I got it spelled right now. Now I'm going to add another letter here. First, I'm going to do this. That's supposed to be a noon and another yod. What is that word? Seen. Remember, it's seen night. Seen night. And it's a word meaning thorny. So they went to Mount Thorny in the wilderness. Now the wilderness of Sinai is different location, quote, than the wilderness of Sin. But yet it's all in the very same area. You find that very fascinating that Sinai or Sinai means thorny. And we're in the wilderness of thorn. Before they go, what happened to the wilderness of thorn? You remember what happened to the wilderness of thorn? No. In the wilderness of thorn, they complained. Because all the food they had brought from Egypt was already consumed. All the grain and all the, probably barley, or whatever grain they brought with them was completely consumed. And they were starving to death. What's fascinating? Why would God take them to a place where there is absolutely no place you could get food? Other than, kill another, deer, or not deer, but kill another sheep or kill another goat.
I'm sorry, I'm going back, and I hope this is okay. But you said that the 70 palms and the 12 wells were in Saudi Arabia?
Yes. They actually see it.
Well, how did they get all the way over there and then come back? Well, I mean, that seems like... Isn't that...
Oh. Were you here last week? Were you here last week?
I thought I was. Was I? But I did... Oh, you know what?
You remember this map?
I have my friend.
You remember this map?
Yes.
Remember this map? Okay, this is where the beginning of the crossing is. That's the only place. They crossed over. Here you got Saudi Arabia. All right? Now, I hope to be able to present to you in much later a good view of this, because I'm going to order a specific DVD that zooms in on, and you'll see it plain as day. But that'll be later. Okay, we got to go all the way to Mount Sinai, or the Mount Thorny, before I could get to that point to be able to give you... I'm just giving you some background information and trying to understand some things that we may be able to get going. Did I answer your question? I want to add, but before you do this, I want to go one more thing, Jeff. Now here's a blow-up of that place. Remember I told you last week there was a rivers? Well, now of course it's all dried up. But here's the rivers. And there's one exit, and there's the second exit. Remember, the two rivers were involved. So there was two rivers. I don't know where the second one is at, but at least maybe it was one of these down here. I don't know, but here you see, it's a winding river, which you can't see when you're way up high because it's narrow, very narrow. And the Israelites had to go through a very narrow passage to get to what's called the elevated area, which is called this. And they had to go on the north end of that. So they were all around this area. They did not go down here. They had to come up to the north area and face toward a mountain. All right? Just kind of explain where we're at now. You had a question?
Oh, no, I was going to tell you, you can, actually, if you go on Google Earth, you can, I got the coordinates.
I've done that, too.
You can find the pools and the palms.
Yeah, you can find it. I've been trying to work on that, and mine doesn't quite work. I don't think I got the power to do so, but every time I get closer and closer, all of a sudden it rotates to a, well, I don't want to go that way. I haven't even figured out how to stop that from happening. But yeah, you can go to Google Earth, you can zero in on, you can actually zero on the mountain. You zero right in on the mountain. And it's black covered mountain. The mountain's black on top. And it's stone that's been burnt. Literally burnt. It's very fascinating. But at the end of this session, actually after Pentecost, God willing, I'll have a certain CD. I hope to be able to purchase it relatively quick. And then I hope to be able to show it. And we'll have a session of just seeing it. I think it's probably going to run... maybe half hour, 45 minutes. I'm not quite sure how long. It's actually a 3-hour program, but I'm going to move it fast forward to just where we have it at this particular point in time. It's very important that we kind of get that point. God willing, I will have it. But then, you know, I'm not always very astute. Now, before we go past this place called Sin, area called Sin, which we had the manna and the quail. We'll get to that in a minute. In a very fascinated location, Ezekiel chapter 30, starting in verse 13. And thus says Adonai Yahuwah, I will also destroy the idols. This is the future tense. Future, in the future. And I will cause their images to cease out of Noah. And there shall be no more a prince of the land of Egypt. And I'll put fear in the land of Egypt. Verse 14. And I will make Paros desolate. And I'll set fire in Zoan. And will execute judgment on Noah. And I will pour my fury upon Sin, the strength of Egypt. I will cut off the multitude. No. The word no is a name of a city. And the word means to disrupting. That's all that word means, disrupting. So he will cut off the multitude of disrupting. Something that disrupts things, he's going to cut it off. Now, interesting thing, this scene is called the strength of Egypt. It's not a territory. When you reach the end, there's two cities he names here. Sin is not called at all a city. Sin is called the strength of Egypt. That's interesting, isn't it? Fascinating. Thorn, the thorns, the thorn of Egypt. Egypt is a thorn. Interesting. Ezekiel 6, verse 16, verse, the 30th chapter. And I will set fire in Egypt. Sin shall have great pain, and the city called Noah, shall be rent asunder. And Noph, which is the same thing as Memphis, which means haven of the good, the Memphis, shall have distress daily. It's going to be narrowed down, distressed, and made difficult. So here this unusual word of seen is associated with the country of Egypt in the future. Fascinating, isn't it? So here we're kind of looking at here. Now they came out of Egypt, right? Just a fascinating thing. I'm not going to tell you much more about that, but just think about that for a while. Let's go back to Exodus, the 16th chapter. Just to let you know that Noah was a capital of the northern Egypt. And Noph or Memphis is the capital of southern Egypt. You have upper and lower Nile and upper and lower Egypt. I don't think of Ethiopia. So there was an up there, upper area was where, who was there? On the upper part of the land of Goshen. And the lower end was where Pharaoh was. Remember all the crops that were destroyed? They were destroyed in the land of Goshen. They were able to harvest their barley to take it with them. Egypt had no food. They can't take, what could they take from the Egyptians? Clothing, jewelry, you know, that's it. They couldn't take animals. I mean, Egyptians were no animals. They couldn't take food because the Egyptians had no food. What did the Egyptians have? Nothing. Stripped of everything. So all their wealth that God blessed them with came from the northern portion or in the land of disrupting. Did God disrupt the Israelites? He sure enough did. No, they cried out for him. Okay, I'll ask you a question. When you are in distress, you're in trouble, you're in difficulty, and you cry out to God, what do you want him to do?
Fix it.
Fix it. And what does he do? Oh, your job has been fired, your work has been fired, you lost your home, you lost everything, and you say, where am I going to go? Oh, well, you know, there's a job way over there in Tennessee. I got to Tennessee. Why don't you rescue me from here? No, it's over there. You know, they weren't expecting really to leave the land of Goshen. They just called for God to deliver them from the burden they had. They didn't want to leave that gorgeous, wonderful land. What happened? He said, oh, I'm going to deliver you. By the way, from bad guys down there, to leave me alone. No, I'm delivering you all the way out. The blessings you had received from the land of the ocean is gone. I'm taking it and removing it all from you. Wow, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? You think God ever do that? Anybody? Has God ever done it? Or has the devil done it to you? We always blame things on the devil. We never think God would ever do any harm. Though he said, by the way, I'm not going to pass these diseases upon you. Of course, later on, Deuteronomy says, yes, I'm going to. We don't think God could do that. We don't want God to do that. God's nice. He's full of love and compassion and understanding and mercy. And what's the other? Love, faith, and charity. That's what he is. Oh, wow. What happened here? You know, it's like a lot of people. And one thing I found looking back on some of the quote movies, end of quote, you notice that in the Ten Commandments, there were no little children or babies that died. They only show adult men dying. Did you notice that? No, baby's dying. And no, little child. No, woman just giving forth birth to this son, and he's dead. You don't show that, do you? Nor do they show you during the time of Noah, when the flood came. They show, quote, some of you said, human, goat, planet, but they don't show you a baby also drowning. They don't show you a one-year-old, two-year-old, a five-year-old. We kind of had a mind, they were always 80, 90, 80, 800 years old. Somewhere along, they're two old people anyway, let them die. That's our picture of brain. We can't picture God destroying life. He's supposed to come and do something else, right? Let's come and save it. Why is he doing what he's doing? And so we look at this thing, and we're saying, what's happening here? Why is he doing it? Why did God go out of his way to, after his wonderful, wonderful place of the seven wells, why are you taking the place with no water? Or bad food? Or complaining because they didn't have anything to eat? You think he kind of made sure they ate up all the food before they got there? Yeah, he did. Why didn't he provide for them? I mean, didn't Jesus have the basket of seven and his basket of five and it came forth a whole lot more at the end? Like, why didn't God do that? Why didn't he take the bar and he just increased it for them? Why didn't he do that? Well, you know, Jesus was a whole lot kinder, wasn't he? But you know, one of these days I'll go back and tell you what he said afterwards. It wasn't very nice. So the children of Israel murmured against Moses, verse 2 of Exodus chapter 2, and against Aaron. And guess what happened? Verse 4, and Yahuwah said unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them that whether they will walk in my law or no. Well, that's an interesting word. Don't you think? He says, prove them. What do you think prove means? Do you like God when he proves you? Or do you just want God, hey, don't do that to me. Just deliver to me what I need. Don't try me. Don't put me through where I'm hungry. Don't put it through where I don't have a job. Don't put it through where I don't have a blessing of a beautiful car or my junk car. Just, God, please, bring it about. And he says, no. I'm going to take it away from you. Oh, really? Why? Because I want to do something to you. I want to find out what you're made up of. You mean God didn't know what they were made up of? Well, if God didn't know what they're made up of, why did he test them for? If he knew what they're made of, it's a waste of his time. Does God waste his time with you? Ask yourself a question. He tested them out to find out whether or not they'd walk in my law. Well, that's a singular word, by the way. Not laws, just Torah. One. What law do you think he was testing them out on? Testing them out on what? What was the test? You will take a precise amount here, per day, per person, per family, 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 per day, and this one twice as much per day, per door, per person, and you will do nothing here. Oh, it was a test whether or not they liked manna? That God was providing them food so they would not have to complain that no food? Or was God testing them out for, will you obey my law, my Torah, my word? Which means, now we'll get to the word Torah, by the way. It's very fascinating. Now, why would God do that? Has God ever tried you, test you out, to find out whether or not you will respond to what he is saying? I can tell you for the rest of my life, my past life and the rest of my life, I'm going to be tested continually. I retried continually. The only time I'll retry is when I'm dead. Now that's over with. And at my age, you kind of look forward to them. Oh, James. What did James say? Count all trials as what? Joy. It's real difficult when you're 20, 25, 30, struggling with, you know, ends making. You think something's really messed up. You finally get old and gray. You say, okay, what's the next one? You're almost waiting for the next trial to come so you can see. You want to build, you want to grow, you want to grow in grace and knowledge. That's what you want to do. Now, what I'm saying to you today, I've always said to this, I'll repeat myself again. I'm telling you what I personally believe is true. I'm not telling you what I believe is right. I'm telling you what I believe is true. Like this morning, devastated. What? You know, if I'm wrong, throw the thing out. Got to get back to what is right in the Word of God. I'm not out to try to be the right person. I'm just trying out to be the person that understands truth and walk in the truth the best of my ability, best of my life that I could possibly do. And here I'm looking at here, I'm saying, boy, what did God want of these people? Oh, we're starving to death. Moses, you blankety blank blank blank, and Aaron, you blankety blank blank blank. Why didn't you just leave us there so God could kill us there while we're eating food in the pot? let us die where we can eat leeches and eat fish, and we can let God kill us there. Why didn't you leave us alone? You know, they said, well, you know what? You didn't just complain against me. In fact, we are absolutely worthless. You know who you complained against? You complained against your Creator, heaven and earth. And now you're going to pay for it. Remember, manna was not a blessing. It was a test. Oh, a test? Yeah, it was a test. What was the test for? We think, oh God, just bless us with manna, bless us with holy bread, bless us with angel bread. Bless. But he wasn't doing that for that reason. What did Jesus say when they ate manna in the wilderness? What happened to them? They all died. Why did they all die? They didn't complete the test. They didn't follow through to the completion of the test. Blessed are you who endure unto the end of the test. You kind of see a little bit of story here? That these people walking through this thing is to teach us something in our own life, in our own personal life, in our private life. Wow. And I'm going to prove whether or not they'll walk in my law. Now the word law means, it's a noun, means Torah. But it has a very fascinating verb base. The verb base for Torah is yara. A yod, a resh, and a hey. Yara. And basically, all it means is to flow smoothly, or smooth flow like rain, or, you know, a point of view, and to teach. You remember you heard that people said the word Torah means teaching? Well, no, Torah really means law. Its root words come from yara. And he's told in Exodus, the fourth chapter, we won't go over there, 11th verse, and Yahuwah said unto him, Moses, of course, who hath made thy mouth, or who has made the dumb or deaf, or seeing and the blind, I have not I Yahuwah. You mean Yahuwah actually made people mouth that were dumb and made the ears they couldn't hear and the eyes they couldn't see? Yes, he did. What did Jesus say? You remember him? You know, the New Testament guy? Oh, I'm sorry. Yahuwah? No. Yahweh? No. What's his name? Yeshua? Okay. Whatever want you want to call him, what did he say? And the disciple says, why are you speaking in parables? Because, in a sense, I'm making sure they don't understand. I'm making sure they can't see. I'm making sure their mouth doesn't understand. Because if I do, I have to heal them. Why don't you heal them? Not according to the will of Jesus, or in the will of his Father. Father had a purpose behind it. Now, he goes on. He says, now therefore, go. This is Yahweh talking. And he said, I will be with your mouth and Yara thee that thou mayst say. In your translations, and I will and teach you, I will teach you what you shall say. Where the word Torah comes from. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of a man who will. And this one, Yahuwah got mad. And he kindled, his anger was against Moses. And he says, all right, Aaron. Okay, give him a Levite. Now he says, and thou, Moses, shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will yara you what you shall do. I will teach you what you shall do. Well, it's kind of interesting that we think about the Torah. It really is telling us what to do and what to say. Right? The Torah is just not there a law to say, okay, I got to do it. Right? I got to keep the Sabbath because it's a commandment to keep the Sabbath. No. He tells you what it is and why. He teaches you the law. He teaches you the and guess what happened to the Israelites? What was he teaching them? The whole manna week. What was he teaching them? He's teaching them what? What did he say? I'm going to test you out whether or not you will hear, respond to my Torah. One word. Not Torot. Torah. And how to do the Sabbath. How to get them programmed for it. How to get them to understand. Has God ever done that to you? Probably not. You never had that problem, have you? Then, of course, comes this thing, and it says in the morning, verse 7, and you shall see the glory of Yahuwah, for that he shall hear, he's heard your murmurings against him, and Yahuwah, against Yahuwah, and what are we? Okay? The following morning would have been the first day of the week. We were talking about that earlier. Following morning would have been the first day of the week, which has been, quote, Sunday, end of quote. And Moses said, thus shall be that when Yahuwah shall give you in the evening, this particular evening, still talking the 15th now, you shall give you in the evening, or whatever, flesh to eat, and the morning, bread for full. So he got the manna in the morning, but as the evening was going to an end, what did they see? A cloud coming. A dark cloud coming. What was the dark cloud? Yeah, quail. That's what it was. Quail coming. Full throttle. I don't know how many. Was an awful lot. That says an awful lot. Up to I can't remember, up to their knees or up to their leg. Both. We'll get there later because that's next chapter, next event. So we're running through here, okay? You know, understand what I'm saying. Am I going too fast? Okay. Verse 12, chapter 16, verse 12. I heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak of them, saying, at evening you shall eat flesh, and the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am Yahuwah, your Elohim. Oh, that's nice. What happened when they got all this flesh? They got sick. Put yourself in the shoe if you can. Just walk in there as if, huh? What's this? Oh, quail. And you're hungry for, well, wow. Well, at least we don't eat our, you know, I'm tired of sheep, and I'm tired of ox, and I'm tired of goat. Ah, there's the birds. Okay, we'll get some. Well, if I want to get something more tastier, you know, well, you cook birds. You know how you cook birds? I don't know how to cook birds. They need a pot. They like that. Funny thing about the melting pot, or the stirring pot, it's a thing that you actually boiled your food in. A big bowl of soup, stew. They like stew back in those days too, believe it or not. I'll go back here now. How would they know? Verse 12. Let me ask you a question. At evening ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am Yahuwah, your Elohim. Oh, is that a blessing? Ask yourself a real sincere question. They just got through doing what? Murmuring. Oh. And so God said, oh, I'm so sorry. I overlooked this whole thing. I didn't know you were hungry. Oh, please forgive me. I can't do it today. It's when the sun comes down, I'll bless you with abundance of quail. And tomorrow, you'll have an awful lot of food. I'm sorry that I did that to you. Is that what he said?
No.
So we had a picture of God, a little picture, don't we? God is what? All powerful, almighty, all strong. He can raise the weak up. He can tear the strong down. Can he do that with you? Can he do it with me? Verse 15, rather. And when the children of Israel saw the part of the manna, it's funny, it was on the ground. How many times have you picked up something off the ground and said, dirty, can't eat that? Well, they picked them off the ground, they ate it. Anyway, and when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what did they say? What does manna mean? Okay, next week I'll explain the word manna. It's a Hebrew word. It's kind of fascinating, Hebrew word, where it comes from. And I know it's a fascinating thing, but the reason why they said that is because of the question of what is in it. The word what is there? Oh, what? 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 That's what I said. He said, what? It may sound funny, but that's what I said, right? What?
Bread?
Yeah. No, Moses told him, it's bread. Oh, now Yahweh sat down for you to eat. Oh, little things that look like what? Frostbite on the ground, a little bit. What is that? And you're supposed to take how much? An omer. That's a measuring bowl, by the way. And you fill it up. And if you have two people in your family, you get two omers full. If you got three people in your family, you get three omers full. Okay? And if you got 20, you get 20 omers full. So you always had, but you were to do what? Only take what you and your family are supposed to take for that day. Now, it would appear they did exactly that. Now, he didn't want them to take an extra omer with them, did he? Except when?
On Friday.
Then you take twice as much. Go out there, get your omer to fill up. Hey, go get the other omer you got. Now bring that in there and fill it up too, you know? So he had worked twice as hard on Friday to get the manna. And guess what? You know, the reason why they ate manna was because of what? We're starving! Where's the fish? Where's the leeches? Where's the onions? Where's the garlic? Where's the stewing pot that gets a nice good soup, you know? Complain, murmuring. Now, God did this on purpose. For us to understand something. They were living examples for us to understand something. What are we supposed to learn from this? Sorry, what?
Suffering in silence.
Suffering in silence.
I think be grateful for everything God has given you.
And if He only gives you the bare minimum, just enough for today. Oh, wait a minute.
Wait.
But there was a prayer by that was, a guy named Yeshua. No, was it Jesus? Said something about a prayer. Was give us what today?
Daily
our daily bread today.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what he did back then. You want more? Well, sure, we want to have security. We always want more. We want to make sure we have a lot more. Isn't that a fascinating parallel? Give us today our daily bread. Don't give us this month our monthly bread. Don't give us our year, our yearly bread. Don't give us 10 years of bread. There was a statement, kind of funny. You can have 5 steaks in your plate. How many can you eat? At a time.
What?
Just one. God says, that's enough. Don't need any more. All I'm going to do is give you that. The 16th chapter of Exodus is a one chapter that has and teaches us what he was doing from the time they crossed the sea. And they entered into the land, a land of bitterness. Into that water of bitterness. And he had to learn something. And then we go from there to the 12 wells and the 70 palm trees. Then we go into this place called the wilderness of sin. And lo and behold. And lo and behold, he takes away. Takes away their food. Is that for us to learn that God supplies everything? No, the object lesson is to what? I'm going to find out whether or not you will walk in my Torah. And he only tested them on one point. Don't raise your hands. How many of you had to be tested on that one point? Oh, the Torah, the Sabbath, seventh day of the week. Oh, wow. He put such strictness upon them that he would, in a sense, you're going to end your life if you don't do what I'm telling you to do. That's a pretty powerful God, isn't it? They're there for us to understand something. Wouldn't we learn, what is the Sabbath for? What is the Sabbath for?
The Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It's a day of rest. Worship God, yeah.
Hebrews, come into my rest. We're going into His rest. We don't own the rest. He owns the rest. We don't own our freedom. He owns our freedom. We don't own any rights. He owns our right. Now, maybe some of you disagree, but God is the one. He bought and paid for you, lock, stock, and barrel. He owns everything about you. He owns your blessings. And by the way, he also owns the cursings he has to put against you. Uh-oh. Yeah, that's an uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
He has to chastise you as he had to chastise them. And in one way, he would chastise them kind of gently. He just let them go hungry for a while. Let them go hungry for a while. Are we learning something from this? Every one of these events tells us something about them, which tells us something about God, which tells us how God thinks, what God's actions are, what God's deeds are. As we go into the future, expect, because God said in Isaiah, it's not a conspiracy that's going to happen. I am doing it all. It's not by happenstance that things just happen and I have to intervene and do it. I am going to do it. They're pretty powerful words, aren't they? It's not a conspiracy. It's me. So we have to listen to Him. God is involved with almost every millisecond of your life. You have food today because He provides the food. If you don't have food today, because He didn't provide the food today. Does that make sense to you? That's why it's not a matter of, okay, I believe God, I want to trust in God, have faith. Yes, we do. We have to grow in grace or favor and knowledge. Every one of us.
In this country here, it's more difficult to imagine that, but if you're in some other country that you do really actually have to start early in the morning to go look for something to eat.
Yeah.
It means just a little. It means a lot more.
Right. Yes. Yes. And it can happen to us. When we see what happened to the Israelites going out, they wanted to be delivered, but they didn't really want to move. They just want to be delivered from that burden that the other guys were doing upon them. Now, God had removed them from the very blessing He blessed them with. Because He's going to bring them to a place far more greater. And He's bringing you and me to a place far more greater. We're going to enter in into His place of shalom. His place of Shabbat. His place of tranquility. His form of tranquility, not your form or my form. His form. And He tells us what it is. So 16th chapter tells you an awful lot. It gives you detailed information. It really does give you detailed information so far, hasn't it? We finished the chapter almost. Detailed information about some very specific law. And specific Torah, specific teaching, and that is the Shabbat. So far, I hope, we kind of learned that God is our healer, even though it's bitter, and we have to get rid of bitterness within inside of ourselves. The only way you can get rid of bitterness inside of yourself is when God heals the water. Then you can partake of it, and the bitterness will go away. You don't remove bitterness. He has to remove it for you. Do you want it removed? Do you have resentment, bitterness, anxiety against someone? Got to get rid of it. He's got to give you that power. And living waters, water represents the Spirit of the living God. And so when the water comes into you, out will come from you is what? Living waters of truth. Living waters of truth. Not living waters of, I'm right and you're wrong. Just living waters of truth. We don't have to prove we're right. We don't have to prove anything. All we have to know is that we can come to the 12 wells, and He will provide for all of us. And we will have the abundance of living water. We can come like bellies full of living waters out. Do you see a parallel? And now He wants them to enter into His Sabbath. But not there yet. Got to enter the Sabbath. I got to teach them what's important, why it's important. And we will get farther into what the Sabbath is all about when we get to the law. Next week, we're going to be in the 22nd day of the month. I'm going to find out what goes on there. Any questions? Any thoughts? So for you don't have to, I'm just presenting to you some information. And I hope that it made that like what I've given to you is worthwhile. It doesn't matter whether or not I've got it accurately down to the gnat's eye, because the gnat's eye is pretty small. I'll never look at a gnat eye, to tell you the truth. And I don't have to be right. I just have to be truthful, be honest.